There's something about Vrindavan. And then there's something about Vrindavan and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there's something about Vrindavan and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Vaishnava Sangha. And then add to that Radha Shama Sundara, and it's a pretty complete package. So we'll add Srimad Bhagavatam and the package will be complete. These five items, many of you know because you read Prabhupada's books. These five items just mentioned, out of the 64 items of bhakti, they're most potent. According to Rupa Goswami, any one of them, what to speak of combine all five of them, but any one of them is so potent, just by performing any one of them, small condition, without offense, then one can at once, potency is such that one can at once achieve the fullest stage of bhakti. Come very quickly to the bhava stage of bhakti. Must be we're making some offense, huh? Must be. Because it's not that what Rupa Goswami says is some exaggeration. He wouldn't do that. So this morning, we spent some time defining our topic, the topic of what does it mean, say yes to Krishna. And part of that, it includes saying no to Maya or other shelters besides Krishna, because what's really a shelter besides Krishna? Anything that seems to be of value apart from Krishna, that's Maya. So saying no to Maya. Prabhupada once said, beginning Krishna consciousness means declaring war on Maya. And Maya is tenacious. She doesn't give up easily. She doesn't let go easily. Prabhupada gave the example that when there's a prison house and it's known by the people in charge of the prison that one of the prisoners is trying to escape, what do? They look the other way. Oh, very nice, they want to escape. Let's give them the keys so that they can escape. Is that what they do? No. They put double security, triple security, quadruple security, round-the-clock security. Make sure they don't escape. So, when you take up Krishna consciousness, be very clear that whatever challenges you felt from Maya before, it just is going to escalate a little bit. Actually, that's a good sign. It means you're doing some good things. Maya is escalating. So don't worry. In America, we say no problem. I learned that in Australia, they say no worries. No worries. Maya is increasing, no worries. Because that means Krishna is coming to the rescue. That's the no worries part. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next section, but a transition to the next section is just a review. I remember the very, very early days of visiting in Sridhar Mayapur. Every morning, there's a morning raga, just like, you know, Samsaradava Nalalita Loka. That's a morning raga. So there's a morning raga also for some of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And one of those is Udila Aruna, sung to a morning raga. Very nice. Just like Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bhole. Wake up, sleeping soul, wake up. The sun is rising. The sun of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association is now available. Get up, get up. Wake up, sleeping soul. So, the last line, this is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Gitavali. Krishnam Sudha Koryapan Jurdhav Bhaktivinoda Paran Nama Bhina Kichu Nahi Ko Aro Chodha Bhuvana Maje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhaktivinoda. There is nothing but the holy name within the 14 worlds. That's this taking shelter, saying yes to Krishna, saying yes to Krishna Nam, with the understanding in the 14 worlds, there's nothing. Meaning, it's all ephemeral or phantasmagoria or will-of-the-wisp or no more meaning than pushpa akash. Pushpa akash means flowers in the sky. There's flowers and there's sky, but there's no such thing as flowers in the sky. So in the 14 worlds, there's no substance. It's all pushpa akash. Flowers in the sky. No meaning, no real shelter. There is one real shelter in this place where there's no real shelter. Bhaktivinoda is writing or singing. Taking shelter, knowing there's no other shelter. The illusion is to think there's some other shelter. And reality is there's no other shelter. It's fearful if there's no other shelter unless you know there's shelter. And similarly, he writes in Jiva Dharma. Some of you are familiar with that book. It's another one of his 100 writings. Jiva Dharma, the Dharma of the Living Entity. And he describes this taking full shelter when chanting the holy name is in the mood of saying to Krishna, O Krishna, I am yours. I'm taking shelter of you, both in the mind and out loud. So something, whatever is inside is what comes out. If you're not really taking shelter from the heart, then you can make some sound. But that's not what chanting is. It's just a little sharing. I like this a lot. It's the same as hearing, or you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, or doing what we're doing while we're together here in Vrindavan. The discussion on saying yes to Krishna. We can say yes to Krishna with the lips, but maybe not with the heart. We can be chanting the holy name and our mind is in the gutter. You can be worshipping the deity and thinking some dirty thought or distracted thought or some other thought or lamenting over the past or worrying about the future while you're performing arti. So there's the external, what the mouth does, and then there's the internal, what the heart does. Bhakti Siddhanta said, chanting is not merely making a sound with the tongue and the lips. He goes on saying you can make a machine that makes that sound. That was even then, what to speak of now, they have machines that make all kinds of sounds. Or you can train a bird, a parrot, to make the sound. I was sharing this with the Chinese devotees because they were visiting in Mayapur. I was asked to give some class. In Mayapur, there was a period of time when they had a parrot in a cage, large cage, one parrot, kind of a chubby parrot. He got a lot of prasadam. And the devotees, it was right at the top of the, from the ground floor up to the first floor into the lotus building. So devotees would come by regularly and see the parrot, and it was known that the parrot would talk back to you. If you said Hari Bol, he would say Hari Bol. So the devotees would stand there in line, basically, you know, Hari Bol. And he'll say, Hari Bol. And then somebody trained him to chant Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And then the voice would laugh and move on, and another one was Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So he was chanting the name. And I remember one year, I wanted to see what it was like in Mayapur when it wasn't so crowded. So I waited till after the Gaur Purnima festival when everybody left. This was like many years ago, so it was much quieter when after everybody left. And it was really peaceful. But around that time, Gaur Purnima time, the temperature rises very quickly. It gets really hot from, you know, being comfortable to really hot. And so when there's a big temperature change, it means the cold air is being pushed out, the hot air is coming in, and then there's wind. And then sometimes there's like torrential rain, kind of like monsoon type rain, and sometimes it's hail. So that particular year it was hailstorm, and it lasted for an hour and a half, and the hail was as big as golf balls, giant. So when the hail started coming down and the wind was blowing the hail all over the place, the devotees ran and ran, but the parrot couldn't run anywhere. He was in a cage right by the stairway and the wall, you know, the little boundary wall. So there were big hailstones smashing on his bird cage. So what did he say? He didn't say Hari Bol. He didn't say Jai Radhe. He said, wah, 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 wah. Because his chanting was lip deep, not heart deep. And our chanting can be like that too. As some of the questions earlier, when some hardship comes or extreme hardship comes, what are you attached to? And what are you attached to? What's inside is going to come out. If there's a strong yes to Krishna, whatever the circumstance, then that's what's going to come out, both inside and outside. So Bhakti Siddhanta says that's not what chanting is. But what chanting is when from the innermost chamber of the heart the soul calls out, oh Lord Nityananda, I am most unfortunate. I'd left the association of Krishna. But you are most merciful. You come into this world to deliver the pure holy name. Oh, Lord Nityananda, please deliver to me the pure holy name. And then the same tongue and the same mouth makes the sound. That's what real chanting is. Taking shelter. So that's the say yes to Krishna message from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, specifically in terms of chanting. So since our process is chanting the holy name, I thought to describe a little bit from Brihat Bhagavatamrita about the chanting of the holy name and some other sources, but primarily Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat means big. Like Prabhupada said, the mridanga makes a sound that can be heard some distance. Maybe a half a block, maybe a block, maybe 2 blocks away. Somebody, especially when you play mridanga, you hit the mridanga really hard, it really makes a loud sound. And it can be heard some distance away. So that's a mridanga. But Brihat mridanga can be heard all around the world. I don't know if you know this, but now you will. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's logo for Gaudiya Math, in the logo for Gaudiya Math is a printing press. There's a mridanga and there's a Brihat mridanga right in his logo. You know, print books and distribute books. Read the books too, by the way. So Brihat means great or big. And Bhagavat, you know, is in relation to Bhagavan. There's the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. Brihat Bhagavat Amrita means nectar. The nectar of the book and the person, Bhagavat. Brihat Bhagavat Amrita. And compliments of a lifetime's worth of work of Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. The BBT has published Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's a text written by Sanatana Goswami. Now, looking around the room, most of you are not new, but there's some that seem to be a little new. So who is Sanatana Goswami? Sanatana Goswami was one of 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, where we are, and the next in line of disciplic succession following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's quite an honor, because the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are eternal associates. They take part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes just to assist him, and chief amongst them. You look in the Bhagavad Gita, the line of disciplic succession goes next to Sanatana and Rupa. But Rupa had an elder brother, Rupa Goswami had an elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, and he looked up to him like his spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his spiritual master, but he looked up to his elder brother like that. In any case, he wrote Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And it's in 2 parts. And the conclusion of the first part ends with saying, this was just a preamble for part 2. Just to help you get the picture of where we're going with the real message, part 2. So the part 1 is very beautiful description of Narada Muni searching for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So, keeping it simple, he goes from one pure devotee to the next pure devotee to the next pure devotee to the next pure devotee. And they're all pure devotees, and so they're all perfect. But they're also all humble, and they refer Narada Muni to someone they consider to be more elevated, more elevated, more elevated, more elevated. And the conclusion is the residents of Vrindavan are the most fortunate and greatest recipients of the mercy of Krishna. And amongst the residents of Vrindavan, guess who? The gopis are the greatest recipients of the mercy of Krishna. And that's part one. And the author, Sanatana Goswami, says all of this was just to prepare us now for the real Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is another quest. It's a devotee named Gopu Kumar. Actually, he's just a village boy. His name describes what he was. He was Gopa Kumar. He's a young boy who was engaged in herding cows in Vrindavan, just like a kid, taking care of cows. And the scene opens with Gopa Kumar with his Gopa friends, and they're herding cows. And off in the distance they see a sadhu, and the cowherd boys are attracted to the sadhu, and particularly Gopa Kumar is very attracted to the sadhu, and he goes and tries to get his association on a regular basis. And finally he asks he doesn't even know his name. Later we find out what his name was, and we find out who he is, but he didn't even know his name, and asked if he could give him mantra, diksha. And the Brahmana said, very well, go take a bath in the Jamuna for purification, come back and I'll give you mantra. And as he was speaking the mantra, he basically lost external consciousness in ecstasy just speaking the mantra in his ear. So he didn't tell him anything, the meaning of the mantra, how often to chant the mantra, whether to chant it out loud or silently. He just told him, just chant this mantra and don't stop for the rest of your life. And his spiritual master just kind of disappeared. Then later on, he gets additional association with him. It finds out his name and finds out other things about the mantra and how to chant it. So in the course of chanting his mantra, his consciousness gets elevated. Now, again, he doesn't know lots of things, but just because of the potency of the mantra, things start to happen. And one of the things that happens is he starts to experience life in higher planetary systems, although he's still in this little cowherd boy body, dressed in cowherd boy clothes. So the outside stays the same, but the inside changes. And then, because of his elevated state of consciousness, he goes to different places. He's not really attracted to the heavenly planets. But then he goes to higher planets beyond the heavenly planets. Like Bhaktivinod Thakur writes in that song, part of the reason for selecting it is nowhere in the 14 worlds is there anything that's real, that's worthy of shelter, except the holy name. The holy name is, in other words, not even part of this world. It's not something created as the planetary systems are created. So just a little special appreciation of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a commentary on the Bhagavatam. It's a very unique commentary. It takes the messages of the Bhagavatam and makes it accessible through the narration of part one and part two. So, for example, the 14 worlds. What does that mean, 14 worlds? Because all religions of the world have this idea. Even Buddhism, that says nothingness is the goal, it has the same idea. Higher planets, this realm, and lower planets. You know, heaven, hell, and the in-between place that we're in now, so we can, after this life, go to one or the other. Or perhaps stay here. Well, the Bhagavatam doesn't just say heaven and hell, because those of you who are familiar with Gayatri Mantra, Bhur Loka, Bhuvar Loka, and Svarga Loka, that's three. Below there's seven, that makes ten, and then there's another four. Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. So he goes to Janaloka. It's Friday night, it's story time. He goes to Janaloka. Really? What's Janaloka? Janaloka is a place where Janas live. Oh. Which Janas? It's Grihastas who have gone beyond the attraction for heavenly pleasure. Really? What's beyond heavenly pleasure? Well, the residents of Janaloka, they're householders that have no male-female attraction. Really? Why are they householders? If there's no male-female attraction. Because they're attracted to something else. What's that something else? They're attracted to the Supreme Lord beyond the enjoyment of the senses. Really, what's that like? Well, they're very fond of Vedic yajñas because they're so attracted to the Supreme Lord. When they're offering oblations into the sacrificial fire, the Supreme Lord appears and he extends his hands and receives their sacrifice in his hand. Those of you that know about Vedic yajñas, there's a fire, and the fire is said to be the tongue of Vishnu, right? And so into the fire, the tongue of Vishnu, you put grain and ghee, making sacrifice to the tongue of Vishnu, and he accepts through his tongue the fire. In Janaloka, he appears from the fire and accepts in his hands. So they're yajna fans. As soon as one yajna is over, they've already got it planned. Next one is set up, and the Supreme Lord disappears when the yajna is over, the next one starts. It's one yajna after the next yajna. They've got Naimisharanya yajna plan. That was just 10,000 years. This is as long as the universe goes. Janaloka. So he observes, when he goes to Janaloka, from chanting his Madan Gopal mantra, which he received, he is a worshipper of Madan Gopal. Now, a detail, this is a nice detail. Madan Gopal is another name for Madan Mohan, and Madan Mohan was the worshipable deity of whom? Sanatana Goswami. Very interesting. Very interesting. And it's a feature of Krishna as a young cowherd boy. Madan Mohan, or Madan Gopal. So the cowherd boy, Gopakumar, is worshipping the cowherd boy, Krishna, Madan Gopal. And specifically, the mantra, I'm going to read a little bit the commentary, but the mantra is meant to attract the heart to the form and all attractive pastimes of Krishna as a cowherd boy. That's what it's meant for. In fact, that's what it does if one chants it properly. That's all you have to do is chant it properly. That's all. Just chant it properly. Just like chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra properly. And you can see Krishna. And if you're not seeing Krishna, keep chanting faithfully. If you remember from the morning class, faithfully. Faithfully means that you understand the fruit of that mantra is that you will be with Krishna. Not only you'll see Krishna, you'll be with Krishna, you'll engage in pastimes with Krishna. Krishna is welcoming you into his pastimes as a confidential servant. Remember that from this morning? I said I tried to connect the philosophical foundation to the topics that we're going to discuss. So this is an example. He was attracted to Madan Gopal mantra simply because he had deep gratitude and faith in his spiritual master who gave him the mantra. He didn't do a lot of things. He didn't explain a lot of things. And gradually he gets some explanation through his spiritual master and through others who are also representing Krishna, like Narada Muni and others. So he's really wowed by seeing Lord Vishnu come from the fire, extend his hands. He sees and receives the offerings of the residents of Janaloka, and then he recedes, he disappears, and they start another yajna, and then again he appears. So they take a little prasadam break, I guess, and they have a discussion with Gopakumar what they're doing. And they invite him, why don't you stay? And somehow it's not the same. And so he keeps chanting his mantra. And then chapter 2 of part 2, he finds himself transported to above Janaloka is Maharloka, and above Maharloka is Tapaloka. It doesn't say so much in Brihad Bhagavatamrita what happens in Maharloka, other than when there's the periodic partial annihilation. There's two major annihilations, there's others, but there's at the end of the day of Brahma, when he takes rest, the planets up to Tapaloka are, first there's a long period of drought, everything becomes real crispy, then there's a fire that engulfs everything in fire, everything then becomes ashes, and then there's torrential rain and floods. So the universe up to Tapaloka is covered again with water. Then the water recedes. The morning of Brahma comes. He chants his mantra. He does his morning activities. And then he recreates the part of the universe that was annihilated every morning. And then at the end of his day, there's a partial annihilation. So Brihat Bhagavatamrita says, the only thing it really clearly says about Maharloka and Janaloka and Swargaloka and everything else below is it's all annihilated during the night of Brahma. And because the fire is so hot, the residents of Janaloka and Maharloka, they get in their vimanas and they make a pit stop in Tapaloka because it's too hot. where they stay until the night of Brahma is over, and then they go back because they have their place to stay again. So in Tapaloka, it's sannyasis and brahmacharis only, no householders. And their activities, primarily one and secondarily another one, the primary activity is dhyan, meditation. And after a long period of meditation, they take a meditation break and they have philosophical discussion. And after their philosophical discussion, they take a little meal, take a little nap, and go back and do meditation for a long time. They don't need to sleep much because they're so enlivened. And their bodies are so elevated and rarefied. And when they're in their meditation, they see the Supreme Lord. And when Gopakumar goes to that place, no one will talk to him. And he wonders why they won't talk to him. Then he realizes, oh, they're in meditation. I have to wait till they finish their meditation before they can tell me, where am I? What's going on here? And they stay in meditation for a long time because they're seeing the Supreme Lord in their meditation. It's not like impersonal meditation or something, Buddhist meditation, Zazen, not like that. They're seeing the form of the Lord. He reveals himself because they're bhaktas. He sees, they see him. And when their meditation terminates, then they see this young boy dressed as a cowherd boy and, Hari Bol, how'd you get here? Who are you? And he introduces himself and he wants to know who they are and what's going on here. So they explain. And he explains how he got there. He's been chanting his Madan Gopal mantra and searching for Madan Gopal. So they give him this very fascinating argument or logical explanation that sounds really interesting. And it goes like this, basically. Before you're searching for Madan Gopal, before seeing happens, something registers with the mind. And then when something registers with the mind, then you can see. You know, something like, what's a good example? I'll use the example of Chinese. Just like you're learning English. So every now and then I can pick up, when I'm hearing the Chinese devotee speak Chinese, I hear certain syllables. I don't know what it means. But if I pick up on something that's said over and over again, and I ask him, what does that mean? That means this. Oh. So then when I hear the conversation, I'm picking up on a word. Because I associate that sound vibration with something I know. So therefore, something like that, since that's, the other way, because you hear English, slowly you pick up on meanings of things and so forth. I don't know how it works with children learning a language, but so they argue, their logic goes like this. You're searching for Madan Gopal, but if you're going to see Madan Gopal, it's going to happen in your mind first. Then you may or may not see him outside, but first you have to recognize him inside, and then you can. So what are you wasting your time running around looking for Madan Gopal? Just sit down and see Madan Gopal nonstop, just like we're doing. We'll show you how to do it. Come on, let's get together and do meditation. So he's a searcher. Like, we are. What do we know? We're in this world of illusion, and somebody says, here's reality. Well, let me see if there's some reality over here. And these people are peaceful and elevated, and he hears them discussing philosophy during their meditation break. and it's really elevated. It's the four Kumaras and the personified Vedas and all these super elevated personalities. Whoa, this looked like a good place. And then he does this meditation thing and the Lord appears and it's really nice. But then when he continues chanting his mantra, it's just not the same. Not the same. It doesn't say, he doesn't even know what the same is. It's just, you know, it's not Madan Gopal. You know, Madan Gopal meaning being in a personal relationship of loving exchange with Madan Gopal, it's just not the same. Somehow, intuitively, he understands. You with me? Huh? No. It's seeing is not the same. He's not yet in the I'm you know realizing his rasa. It's just whatever, regardless. It's something like. In Brahma Samhita, in our line of disciplic succession, Lord Brahma is the original preceptor. He's the founder of this sampradaya. And you read Brahma Samhita carefully, if you have a good dictionary, you'll understand he gets two mantras. One is a mantra that comes from the prototype, not his wife, Saraswati, but the prototype Saraswati, the internal potency Saraswati, he receives mantra from her. And it's this Gopal mantra that he receives from her. It's written right in Bhaktisiddhanta's purport. From chanting that mantra, he doesn't realize his rasa, but he realizes his position as an eternal servant. So, being an eternal servant means being engaged in activities of service. It's not passive, not dhyan. Dhyan is passive. You see the distinction? It's service is active. It's not a neutral, passive, oh, there he is. It's service to the person who you're in your meditation seeing. How do you make that jump? It's not the same. It's not neutral or passive. It's active. Service. That's the realization that Brahma had from the first mantra. And then, he was given a second mantra, Lord Brahma. The second mantra came in the form of the sound of Krishna's flute. Now, what does that sound like? Well, we'll have to wait to find out. But what Brahma heard came out his mouth in the form of another mantra, Kama Gayatri. So Gopal mantra was the first one. It's called Madan Gopal mantra in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. In Brahma Samhita, it's called Gopal Mantra. Same. You can go read it up, read it about it in a book. Go do some research and you can find out what it is. And then chant it. It's not going to happen. The fruit is not going to come because it has to be received from Krishna or from the internal potency of Krishna Saraswati, or from one in disciplic succession who has received it. Then it has effect. In the case of Gopakumar, he received it from his spiritual master. Now later on, this is kind of fast forward many chapters later, his spiritual master was Krishna. Finally he makes it to Goloka after all these different things. And when he reaches Goloka, it's really nice. It's really nice. He doesn't know where he is. And he goes up to people and asks him, where am I? What is this place? And who's in charge here? Nobody will even talk to him. He thinks these people are really rude. They won't even acknowledge I exist. After many, many people that won't say anything to him, finally one old lady says, she speaks. She said, this is Goloka. This is the place of Mud and Gopal. And no one will talk to you because they're in such a mood of separation from Mud and Gopal, who's gone off to herd the cows. They can't even speak. But see off in the distance, I'm making it simple, see off in the distance, see that dust in the distance coming from the forest? That means that Mud and Gopal is coming back with the cows, and that dust is raised by the 900,000 cows as they're moving across the pasturing ground. And you see all the people running in that direction. That's because they want to greet Mud and Gopal. Go quickly. You're young. You can run quickly. I can't. Start running. It's really beautiful. Of course, Sanatana Goswami is, what can he do but something beautiful? He sees not just the dust, but he sees the cows. And then he sees the cowherd boys. And then he sees Mud and Gopal. And he goes crazy. He starts running, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, running to embrace Jagannath, because he doesn't see Jagannath. He sees Krishna with his flute. Mud and Gopal! Mud and Gopal sees Gopal Kumar and he starts running with his arms outstretched to embrace him, and they both collapse on the ground unconscious before they even meet. So beautiful. Balaram comes. Mud and Gopal comes to external consciousness first and starts chastising him. Just see what you've done. You've caused Krishna to go into the swoon. Shame on you. And Krishna comes to external consciousness, sees him, and embraces him so strongly. And says, I've been waiting for you. I was thinking, maybe in this lifetime he'll come back. But you didn't come back. Then I thought, maybe in the next lifetime he'll come back. But you didn't come back. And then I thought, maybe in the next lifetime he'll come back. But you didn't come back. So I came myself and gave you this mantra. And now you've come back. Please never go away again. Gopal Kumar cries and cries, I'll never go away again. I'll never go away again. I'm paraphrasing to make it simple. Bhaktisiddhanta's language, the transcendent Lord is forever inviting the fallen conditioned to soul to come enjoy with him once again in the eternal loving mood of service. So that's what mantra is meant. It's what it does. It's meant to restore the fullness of our relationship with Krishna. It's the purpose of creation, is to restore the fullness of consciousness of the living entity. And receiving mantra is one very important way of Krishna giving himself to us. Abhinatvam nama namino. The name and the person, nama and nami, are abhinna. They're non-different. But we're covered. And so we chant mechanically, lip deep but not heart deep. Now back to you know, and then we meet obstacles and tribulations and, you know, things that of this world due to our own attachment to this world, our own contaminations and so forth. Keep chanting. Keep chanting faithfully. Keep chanting where, as you're chanting, there's taking of shelter in the reality of, at least conceptual reality, that the name and the person are none different. So I just want to read a little section from the commentary that, so Sanatana Goswami, based on teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he received at the Dashashvamedha Ghat and Varanasi, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in a summary way, he was then instructed, same as Rupa, write books and establish the places of Krishna's pastime. So he and his brother did this service. And one of his books is the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So, part 2, chapter 2, I'm going to read 2 verses in purports. That's all. 2:28. For fear of being ungrateful, I never gave up my japa, nor for a moment was I able to forget this Brajabhumi. Now he's, at the moment, he's in Tapaloka with the meditators who are persuading him, why are you doing this mantra chanting, searching for mud and gopal? Come on, just see him nonstop like we do. Commentary. So the commentary is Sanatana Goswami's commentary, paraphrased in a simple way by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. From Gopakumar's point of view, the life of tending cows in Vrindavan, his service, was more attractive than any other circumstance, including residence in Nandana Vana. As long as he continued chanting his mantra, this attitude could not be covered by illusion, because the natural effects of Sri Madan Gopal's mantra was to attract the heart to the Lord's sports in Vrindavan. The natural effect of Sri Madan Gopal's mantra was to attract the heart to the Lord's sports in Vrindavan. Natural effect. Wanting to avoid being ungrateful, Gopakumar never stopped chanting. He might justify abandoning the mantra only after attaining its final goal. If he were to stop chanting before then, he would not discover the mantra's full benefits. Thus, to stop the chanting prematurely would amount to ingratitude. For without having bothered to receive all of the mantra's benefits, how could he properly acknowledge them? I like this message a lot. I was visiting, this is a personal sharing, I was visiting some while ago in our Potomac temple. Potomac is near Washington, D.C. It's the main large ISKCON temple in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital in America. And it was a morning Bhagavatam class. Their deity is Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. Long, very wonderful history of how the deity got the name and got on their altar. It's a very colorful history. And in the audience were Anuttama Prabhu, godbrother, global communications minister, and his wife, Rukmini. Rukmini was the head pujari of Radha Govinda when Prabhupada, after installing Radha Govinda in Jaipur, sent Radha Govinda to York, and she became the first head pujari. Little side story. Once when Prabhupada was visiting in New York, after Radha Govinda had been installed, there was an arrangement. Prabhupada was going to arrive at the airport, so there's all this discussion about we had to have people greet him at the airport, but we also had to have people at the temple when he arrived at the temple. So who was going to stay at the temple and who was going to go to the airport? So a plan was made. The car that Prabhupada is in will take a longer route to get back so all the devotees can go to the airport and all the devotees can be at the temple. That was the plan. That's not what happened. Prabhupada's car got there quickly, the other cars got lost. So everybody was there at the airport, there was nobody at the temple when he got to the temple. And Prabhupada came to see Radha Govinda for the first time since installing them in Jaipur. And Rukmini was on the altar. She was the one that stayed back to do the aarti. So the altar was just like a white marble altar that was a foot off the floor and then some steps and steps and steps to lead to Radha Govinda. But not like really, really high, like here in Vrindavan. So she's on the altar, foot off the floor. Prabhupada comes in with, you know, whoever was with him before Radha Govinda, and she's performing aarti. She didn't know what to do. Should I continue performing aarti? Because according to the rules of Archana, you don't interrupt once you begin worship. And then here comes Prabhupada. So she put down the bell, put down the incense, paid obeisances on the floor, got back up, picked up the bell, picked up the incense, and continued with aarti. And then later she asked Prabhupada, I didn't know what to do. Did I do the right thing? And Prabhupada said, yes, you did the right thing. The rules of Archana are subordinate to the rule of honoring the spiritual master. That's the answer he gave her. No, we can't imitate, but that's the answer that Prabhupada gave to Rukmini. So now back in the Potomac Temple, this is, you know, the regard I have for Rukmini. I'll say one other thing. Rukmini wrote a letter to Prabhupada. This is from those days. There's not enough time in the day to do all the service that I'd like to do. I'm in anxiety. What should I do? Prabhupada wrote back saying, oh, how nice that you've attained the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Because in the stage of Bhava Bhakti, one of the symptoms is one does not want to waste even a moment in the service of Krishna. How nice that you've attained such a nice elevated stage in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was very kind to his early disciples, and she was one of them. She became a devotee when she was 16 or something like that. Just like an amazing, committed person. So that's my regard for Rukmini and so many other things. And so she's in the class, time for questions in the Bhagavatam class. And the question she asked was, could you share with us through all these 47 years of your Krishna consciousness what has helped sustain you to stay so committed as you have been for all these years? I didn't have to think too deeply about it. I said two things, gratitude and Srimad Bhagavatam. And I explained. There's a personal story to tell, but I have a very deep sense of gratitude for what Prabhupada has given me and anybody else who just says yes to Krishna, because that's the theme. Just say yes to Krishna. Whether as a young college student I understood, you know, the length and the breadth of that gift, I knew that my life was permanently changed because of that gift, and I felt it, but profoundly. And that deep sense of gratitude hasn't left, and it's simply grown and grown and increased and manifest itself in different ways. And where there's gratitude in the heart, something that I've come to realize is not a sutra from Vedanta Sutra or anything, or Bhagavatam verse, but gratitude is the seed of love. So Gopal Kumar is expressing this. It's Gopi Pranadana's Gopi Pranadana's purport, but it's what kept Gopal Kumar going from one situation to the next situation to the next situation to the next situation to perfection. It's the gratitude, and specifically it's the gratitude that if I don't receive the fullness of the gift that my spiritual master has given me, how can I be, I'll be ungrateful. How can I appreciate the fullness unless I experience the fullness? Impelled not by guilt or by duty, but gratitude. He continued to experience the fullness of that gift that he had been given. And I'll say the other thing that I said to Rukmini, the other Srimad Bhagavatam. Because I personally experienced, well, a number of things, but I personally experienced the dedication that Prabhupada invested in making the Bhagavatam available for us. For many hours every night, at a elderly age, with a body that was failing him, we didn't know all the things that were failing him. Later I came to find out all the bodily things that were failing him, without the detail. And he just transcended that. Why? Compassion. And one can, how can one be not grateful for one who has changed your life and is sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing out of compassion for persons who are suffering? He just wanted us to be happy and relieved from our, you know, lost, miserable condition of life. Being disconnected with Krishna. He wanted to make the Krishna connection. And he had great faith. We know that from his arrival at the Boston Harbor. How is it going to be possible? Then he gives the verses from the Bhagavatam, how the impossible becomes possible through the potency of the Bhagavatam. That if you want me to be a fit speaker, to empower my speech, then please do so. Because otherwise it's mission impossible. Just, he was driven by compassion, and what the behind the compassion, his compassion was the compassion of his spiritual master, the order of his spiritual master. Just fulfilling the order of his spiritual master was his life and soul. Prabhupada writes right in the Bhagavatam, right in Bhagavad Gita, from Vishwanath. Excuse me, Baladeva. The secret to spiritual life. Would you like to know a secret? It's such a secret that I can tell you and it may still remain a secret. Unless you do it. Then it, same as here, you won't experience what it means until you do it, until you experience it. Then it's no longer a secret, but otherwise it remains a secret. And that is taking the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Prabhupada said in a conversation, when he was sitting in Radha Damodar temple, preparing his Bhagavad Gita commentary, which later was stolen in New York City, so he had to do it again. When he was in Vrindavan and he read Baladev's commentary, that the secret of success, second time, the secret of success in spiritual life is taking the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Prabhupada said, I knew I had to go. I was feeling I'm not capable. Mission impossible. I'm this one person. And the world is so big and so dark and filled with ignorance and passion. How is it going to be possible? But I have to do it because it's the instruction of my spiritual master. I have to make it my life and soul. Just a little while ago, we had this nice celebration on behalf of Bhaktivinod Thakur, yes? Bhakti Chaitanya Swami gave a beautiful lecture on the life of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and they described it like this. Actually, it was in addition, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta received from Bhaktivinod Thakur, he was calling him something like the pioneer general or the lone general in the forest. Meaning, when Bhaktivinod Thakur started, the name of Lord Chaitanya was bad. It was bad because the Apasampradayas had made it bad. There were still genuine Vaishnavas, but very few. And those that were predominant were deviated without detail. In that circumstance, the lone general, pioneer general in the forest brought respectability back and entrusted that charge with Bhakti Siddhanta, who trusted the charge to all of his followers, and Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul to take the message to the English-speaking parts of the world. And because he took the message as his life and soul, look what happened. I'll say it again as I did earlier. Please read Prabhupada's books very carefully, because everything you need, the fullness of his compassion and realization, are there in his books. Prabhupada would sometimes sit and listen to the devotees reading the Bhaktivedanta purports. And it wasn't self-adoration. He would say, after listening, busy as he was, he would hear his own Bhaktivedanta purports and comment, "These are not my writings. Krishna was dictating. And I was simply like Ganesh, writing it down." Govinda Bhasya. Bhaktivedanta purports. So gratitude and Srimad Bhagavatam have kept me nourished and vitalized. So that this sense of gratitude that's being spoken of by Gopa Kumar in this purport is spoken again later in the same chapter. This is on the theme of say yes to Krishna. And say yes to Krishna means not 10%, 20%, 30%. It means say yes to Krishna. Because here he is. He's gone beyond Swargaloka. He's gone beyond Janaloka Maharloka. He's gone to Tapaloka. The next stop is Brahmaloka. And he doesn't stop there either. He goes all the way to Goloka. That takes purity. So say yes to Krishna is the seed for that is gratitude. Here's text 83 of chapter 2. Nonetheless, I stayed there for some time, Tapaloka, attracted by the display of great power, out of respect for my guru's order, and because I had seen how effective my mantra was, I kept on chanting. Short purport. The atmosphere of Tapaloka weakened Gopakumar's resolve to see the Lord, but he still persevered in chanting his japa. His guru had ordered him never to stop chanting, and Gopakumar did not want to be ungrateful by disobeying. one other thing, and I'm going to end. Another one of the wonderful writings of Sanatana Goswami is Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas is basically, it's a how-to manual. How to do anything. How to do the rituals of Krishna consciousness, deity worship, how to observe Janmashtami, how to observe Ekadasi, what's the process of initiation, how to anything. Anything that is part of a Vaishnava tradition, it's a how-to manual. And part of the description in Hari Bhakti Vilas is how to chant the Maha Mantra. In fact, how to chant any mantra. So he says, he writes in Hari Bhakti Vilas, when chanting mantra, commonly this may mean Gayatri mantra or Gopal mantra or Madan Gopal mantra or but any mantra, like, you know, you sing Nrisingha prayers, there's a mantra. What's the meaning? You know, children can sing the song, they know the nice melody. But what's the meaning? And we're as you become matured in Krishna consciousness, what's inside is as important as what's outside. That not just you chant the mantra, but you're meditating on the mood and the meaning of the mantra. Just like reading Prabhupada's books. It's one thing to know what the books say. It's another thing to bring the mood and the meaning into the core of your consciousness. And you live your life from that place. The core of consciousness place that's in fidelity with the message. You have to know what the books say before you can do that. Then you have to qualitatively receive the message of the books before you can take it properly into the core. So you need a good teacher. We need good teachers. To be good teachers, you have to have a good teacher to teach you how to be a good teacher. Small thing. But that's the challenge of the Hare Krishna movement, to make a place where the values are in conflict with the purpose of life. And to change those values to align with Vedic values and then live your life accordingly. It takes a while because we're pretty Kali Yuga-ized, pretty contaminated. So it takes a while. It doesn't have to take a while. It's just we're lazy and misguided and unfortunate and arguing and always disturbed and, you know, sufficiently Kali Yuga-ized that it takes some time. But we faithfully continue with gratitude to the person who's given us this process. Ultimately it's Krishna. And in our case, within ISKCON, it's our founder, Acharya. Carrying the instruction of his spiritual master, carrying the instruction of his father, carrying the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just this descending mercy needs to come into our life and touch your heart with feelings of gratitude, then call. Hear and chant and bring within your heart. So, Sanatana Goswami says the meaning of the mantra is to be meditated upon when chanting the mantra. So those that are chanters of Gayatri mantras, there's meanings and you should chant knowing the meanings of the mantra that you're chanting. I mean, the mantras that Lord Brahma got taught him that he's an eternal servant of Krishna and also taught him his particular rasa, at least acquainted him with the initial idea that our Lord Brahma, in any case, is an eternal maidservant of Krishna. He's Lord Brahma. He's got to build the universe. And we all have to go and do whatever we do. We perform a prescribed duty and think of Krishna in the proper way by proper mantra chanting and purification. So So the last part is, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, here's what Sanatana Goswami writes about the meaning of each of the 16 words in the mantra. So there's Hare 8 times, and then there's Krishna 4 times, and there's Rama 4 times. I'll just, for starters, just read what he says about Krishna. O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. Interesting. The prayer that I meditate on for part of my japa and for the past year and a half is, O Krishna, you are all attractive. Please attract my mind, or please attract me to you. You are all attractive. Subtext, I'm very distracted. But you are all attractive. Please attract my mind to you. Now, I'm not lazy. It's not a statement of laziness. It's a statement of implicated in matter and the glory of Krishna, whose name and he are non-different. Please attract me to you. Pull my mind to you. Next, Krishna. O Krishna, purify my mind with knowledge about devotional service given by your pure devotee. O Krishna, may I develop a taste for serving you. O Krishna, give me steadiness to appreciate your transcendental name form qualities and pastimes. I'm not going to go through the whole, it's just Rama. O Krishna, let me hear of your intimate pastimes with your beloved Radharani. O Rama, please engage me in remembering your sweet name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Please make me qualified for your service. For me, Rama has a lot to do with or carries the meaning of spiritual strength. To carry out our service, we need strength, Prabhupada writes it in Krishna book. How can you engage in devotional service if you don't have spiritual strength? Oh, Rama, please give me the strength to carry out service to you or service to Krishna. So there's meaning, and if you try it, if you chant with the meaning to the person, it's not just a sound, it's a relationship with the person whose name you're calling. And that completes this evening, because it's Sharanapati. This means attaining Sharana, and when you're attaining, there's a connection. Not just the cultivation of surrender, attainment of surrender, achieving that relationship, that connection. Say yes to Krishna, like Gopal Kumar said yes to Madan Gopal. The agent to give him that commitment and that connection was his spiritual master, who gave him an instruction. Don't stop chanting. Keep going on the path to Krishna. Through the strength of the instruction of the spiritual master, it gives you the strength to carry out the instruction. That's the position of the faithfulness of a disciple. Prabhupada once said, when the spiritual master gives you an instruction, or when Krishna gives you instruction, within the instruction is all the strength and capacity you need to carry out the instruction. Isn't that nice? Should I say it again? I'll say it again. Prabhupada said, when the spiritual master gives an instruction, or when Krishna gives an instruction, within the instruction is the capacity, everything you need to carry out the instruction. That's the realization of the faithful person. servant. Now, one who is not faithful thinks, oh, it's too high. Give me an instruction I can follow. Like, you know, control your mind. Give me an instruction I can follow, please. Within the instruction, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Due to the flickering nature of the mind, bring it back. The unsteady mind needs to become steady, and the strength to do so comes from the instruction to do so. There's a nice teaching in Prahlad's teachings to his classmates. Really simple statement. In this world, there's no enemy other than a mind that's it's not controlled and something else. Undirected, something. There's no other enemy in this world than the mind. The enemy is within. The mind needs to go to Krishna. Within the instruction, the mind should go to Krishna. There's strength. There's intelligence. Buddhi directs the mind. And you'll get buddhi when you show Krishna, I want to be with you. Krishna gives you buddhi and you can direct the mind. And otherwise you can't. You can't do it on your own. It's true you can't do it on your own. You can say, I can't. And that's true, we can't. But Krishna can. Krishna can give you the intelligence necessary to control the mind. In any circumstance. Any circumstance. That's the say yes to Krishna message. Krishna can give that strength. Okay, so I'm allowing time for discussion like we did this morning. Seemed to work out well. Any comment or question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatamrita, as the word indicates, is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the essence of Bhagavatam. Okay. It's a commentary on Bhagavatam, so it explains the essence of Bhagavatam, sure.
But as we read the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Brihat Bhagavatamrita, they are totally different.
The narration is different, but the essence is not different. Why do you say they're totally different?
Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes or the stories mentioned in the Bhagavatam is not at all the same.
That's okay. But that's totally different.
But the essence...
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Is Krishna limited or unlimited?
Unlimited.
Okay. It's like in the West, giving Krishna book to somebody that's not familiar with the Vedas. And they see the cover, say, oh, who's that? That's Krishna. And who is Krishna? Well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They'll say, no. Why no? Well, he can't look like that. Why he can't look like that? Well, he just can't look like that. That's why he can't look like that. Why he can't look like that? And then, you know, there's so many things he can't do because we limit him, but he's unlimited. So his pastimes are also unlimited. There's themes, and then there's variations on the themes. And there's pastimes that we don't find in the Bhagavatam that great acharyas experience within their heart. And they write them. And those are pastimes of Krishna that aren't recorded in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is unlimited. And he reveals his unlimitedness to some of his devotees in different ways.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay.
The Brahmin initiation, the mantra that we get, is it the same as Madan Gopal mantra?
Is which mantra the same?
The Gayatri.
Yes. One of our Gayatri mantras is Madan Gopal mantra.
So the one that we receive.
Number 6 in the list. We don't say it out loud, but that one. Same. While he's changing the battery, anyone else would like to raise a question? Yes? Can you speak loud? Don't read your question, just say it, please. In the morning class, it's on.
In the morning class, you talked about Jiva Goswami talking about two aspects. One was Sharanagati.
I talked about Jiva Goswami's Sharanapati definition.
The two aspects of saying yes to Krishna.
The two aspects of Sharanapati, yeah.
Yeah, and one was Sharanagati.
No, 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 no.
I got confused.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I said the two terms. There was a question during the question-answer session about this. There are two terms that are very similar. Sharanagati, which is a term that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses, which means going to the position of surrender. Agati. And apati means attainment. So it's like avideya and prayojana in relationship to sharana. Okay? We have a question up front here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what do I need to do? Hare Krishna, what is it that I need to do on a regular basis to strengthen my gratitude in a practical way?
How to express it? Strengthen gratitude. How to strengthen gratitude? I'll give a medium answer. There's a short one. There's a long one. Don't ask me for the long one. The short one is, who's taking care of the microphone? Can you take the microphone? Because she'll try to say something else afterwards. The short one is, associate with people who are grateful. If you want to develop a nice quality, associate with people that have that nice quality. Sangat sanjayate kama, from Bhagavad Gita. You develop qualities like those with whom you associate. That's the short answer. That's too easy. Can you make it a little more complicated, please? Sure. Four things, and you can write them down. Gratitude journal. What does that mean? It means get a journal book and every evening think of those persons or a person or whatever that you feel have really helped you in your life. You know, your mom is a good person, or, you know, whoever you've gotten spiritual nourishment from. And just get in a reflective space, as a mode of goodness space, and think about, what is it that I have to be grateful? It can be, you know, Krishna, or it can be a devotee, or it can be something. And write it down, because when you write something down, it requires clarity to express yourself as you mean it. So write it down. And then sit back in that reflective space and think of that which you have benefited from. You know, Prabhupada or your spiritual master or somebody. Or it can be several somebodies. But if it's gratitude in general, several somebodies. And do that every day. What will happen if you do that is you're exercising your gratitude muscle. Instead of being like a little child that just takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and takes, children are attention machines. They can never get enough. And if they're not getting what they're expecting, they'll let you know it. They'll make some noise or do something to make sure that they get attention, 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 attention. And it's not on the platform of gratitude, recognizing it's just, you know, very self-centered. Anyway, maturing is going beyond that boundary of selfishness into the realm of feeling some gratitude. So it's the feelings of gratitude start with recognizing what it is that you are receiving to be grateful for. Number two, something that you do every day, so it doesn't have to take extra time, but something that you do every day, you cook or you make some offerings or you, something you do every day, take a bath, something you do every day, put on your tilak. As you're doing that something every day, and every day, and every day, think, let me do this as an expression of gratitude to the person who I'm feeling gratitude towards. Doesn't take any extra time. It's just a molding of consciousness or directing of consciousness towards doing out of gratitude. It's exercising the gratitude muscle. And what you find is that feeling of gratitude will go beyond the putting on the tilak or making your offering in the mood of gratitude for the person who you're feeling grateful towards. It'll expand exponentially into other areas of your life. Then another, number three, with those that you know have similar gratitude for that person or persons, share with them, I feel gratitude in this way, and then they say, oh, and I feel gratitude in that way, and the feelings of gratitude will grow. And then from there, it doesn't have to be necessarily somebody that feels the same feelings of gratitude, just you appreciate that person, so you say some words of appreciation for that person, like we do with Prabhupada, for example. And then number four is, without, you know, purposely, without drawing attention to yourself for the purpose of getting some recognition and appreciation or pat on the head or some stars after your name on your report card or something like that, you do something that you understand is serving the mission of that person. Deliberately, consciously, something that you understand to be the mission of that person's life. This is like what Prabhupada wrote about the Gandhi Memorial. The way to honor a person is not just to create an association or place where the values of that person can become manifest in the world. And he called it Gita Nagari. Gandhi liked Gita, so make a village of the Bhagavad Gita, and then they've described it. So, do something in your life on a regular basis, daily or weekly or whatever, that's making a contribution to the mission of that person's life. And again, the feeling of gratitude will expand in concentric circles out into other activities of your life. This becomes part of your life. So there's an instruction. Now let's see if we can follow it. Yes. Raise your hand, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were mentioning about studying Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully.
This speaker system is crummy. I couldn't hear.
Studying Srila Prabhupada's books faithfully.
Studying Prabhupada's books. Faithfully.
Carefully.
Systematically. Yay. No? That's the bullet point. Now what's the question? How to do it?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj? It starts with a commitment to do it, and then how to do it gets filled in. How's that for an answer? You know, in other words, there's details to your life. What resources you have, the duties and responsibilities and roles you have to play, etc. I don't know all those things. But it starts with commitment to do so. Some people take some time out and come and take systematic training and education. Some people can't do that, or just like they think they can't do that, so they don't do it. And then they do some, you know, you can do it some other way, slowly, with some qualified system that resonates, not just the mechanical system, but, you know, something that preferred is there's a teacher-student relationship, because it's not just the information, it's the values that are passed on from the teacher to the student element. So someone that's a teacher and some teacher. It can be slow, fast, medium. But it starts with commitment, because resources are out there. And if you start feeling and expressing, Krishna will send, and other people will also pay attention to. Here's a person, or then other persons will hear you saying, yeah, that's right. And there's several persons saying, yeah, that's... It can happen. Right in your backyard, so to speak. I just got a letter from somebody from one city. Long story, goes back some number of years. But one Mataji married somebody in another city. They went to the other city. So I said to that Mataji, you've taken classes from Radhakrishna. You've learned from Radhakrishna. You should give what Radhakrishna has given you. Radhakrishna is a teacher. She said, oh, I'm just a Mataji, how can I do that? Said, you can do that. And go ask Radhakrishna if you should do that. And so she asked Radhakrishna, can you come and teach us? And he's been doing it steadily for a number of years. He just finished Canto 5 and 6. He comes because there's commitment. There's a group of people that have been through everything. The whole Bhakti Shastri and Cantos 1 through 6. And that's a lot of time from him. But he's fine with doing it because there's commitment on the persons that want to receive systematic training and education. Not mechanical. And then they have the responsibility to teach others. But they have something to teach because they have a good teacher. They've not only studied the information, but like we were discussing earlier, the message, the intention behind the acharya who gave the commentary, who was following the line of previous acharyas that gave the commentary, and from a qualified teacher that knows all that. I can tell you, he's really happy to have an audience that really wants to receive. So they got his commitment because of their commitment. Krishna blessed it. How's that?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Yes? Go ahead. Give her the microphone. is for you. Take the microphone. No, no, behind you.
Maharaj, it's a little...
Yes.
It's a little odd question, but...
An odd question. Great. My experience is odd questions lead to other odd questions. It's perfectly okay.
Maharaj, we have heard many times that we have to pray to Krishna, but we shouldn't expect that He would reciprocate in the way we want.
Ah, He'll reciprocate, but not necessarily the way that we want.
So Maharaj, whenever I pray to Him, He reciprocates very differently. So... So my experience with Him is like, whatever I pray, He will not give me for sure.
And therefore don't pray?
In the opposite.
Huh?
So, although I pray, but they, in my heart, like...
You're wondering what's going to happen. Yeah?
Yeah, Maharaj, and when I hear that Krishna is very kind and He reciprocates...
He's very kind and He reciprocates.
But He reciprocates...
But not according to your plan. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there a message from Krishna to you that He wants you to understand besides when you pray to Me, I'm not going to give back the way that you're asking? Is there a message here? What's the message? I see two messages without knowing any of the details. There's a relationship. That's one message. And another message is what Krishna wants is that you don't put conditions on that relationship. Let me guess that in turn, other relationships, there's conditions on those relationships. I mean, it's just human nature. Not blaming you or something. It's just human nature. And it's different than transcendental nature. Transcendental nature is there's no conditions. And when there's conditions, sometimes those conditions are met and things are nice. When those conditions are met, things are sticky or friction or flame instead of smooth. And then you pray to Krishna, please take care of this problem. It doesn't come back the way that you want. So from a distance, I don't know any of the details, but to me it sounds like Krishna wants you to receive the following lesson. In your relationship with Krishna, don't place conditions. Then in turn, when you learn that one, in relationship with others, you don't need to place conditions. So what's a relationship where there's no conditions? It's a relationship of loving service to Krishna with another person who's serving Krishna, who has another mind besides Krishna, others that have another mind, another will, another set of senses than yours, mind, will, and set of senses. And you're meant to have a loving relationship with persons that don't have minds and desires that match yours. A loving relationship. Because Krishna is at the center. And the mission is Krishna's happiness. That's Vaikuntha. And otherwise, it's a life of anxiety, the life of Kuntha. In worldly relationship, because the relationship with Krishna isn't right. I'm placing conditions. My expectations. Another word besides conditions. My expectations. Now, supposing Maharaj is right, so what should I do? Address yourself to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna. Prabhupada Maharaj is saying, I've got conditions or expectations in my relationship with you. And I think he's right. But I don't know how to address it because I do have, you know, expectations. So please help me get on the other side of that circumstance in my heart. My experience is, and I learned this in the first month as a Hare Krishna devotee. It was like Krishna was very kind to me. I was given service that made no sense to me. I didn't really want to do it at all without the details. And I reached a certain point of realizing, you know, I came here to serve Krishna, not to have Krishna serve me. So if Krishna wants me to do this, even I don't want to do this, I should give my full heart, not just do it, but give my full heart. Then I was given conditions. This is a demonstration. You've given your full heart. So I gave my full heart, and just like that, the circumstance changed. And it wasn't just like I was let out of prison or something. I was given the mercy of understanding what Krishna wants. He wants my heart, not my behavior and my demands. I don't want to do this, I want to do it that. I don't want to do it this way, I don't want people to speak to me this way, I want them to speak to me that way. No conditions. And then the relationship with Krishna has no obstacle. And then in that condition of purity, then one can have proper relationships with others. It doesn't mean there's no bumps in the road, but a relationship where it's Krishna's happiness that's at the center of that relationship. What's going to be pleasing to Krishna? That's spiritual life. That's Vaikuntha life. It's Krishna conscious life. And we're learning in one another's association how to have Krishna conscious lives together. Where persons like me, they're also undergoing some purification. But we're to assist one another in pleasing Krishna. That's our life as devotees. It's not a win-lose proposition. It's a win-win proposition. Because Krishna is the winner when that's our objective. We become purified by that. Making that our... And that's the difference between Sharanagati and Sharanapati. Going to the place of Sharana and having attained it. And the having attained it means that it's the relationship. Not at all an out of place question. It's right on the topic of say yes to Krishna. I'm sure Jagatananda is taking note of these things because the interactive session that he's going to be doing with us tomorrow is really important to take these messages and integrate the messages. Because it's really easy to hear, even you write it down, and you go back to, you know, life as usual, and it's, you know, in one ear and out the other ear, and no transformation. So the integration exercise is a very important part of helping it to go in. He's got an important service to do. Anyone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My question is, while practicing Krishna consciousness and especially in chanting...
Especially in chanting,
other vices is also coming. Although I understand that these vices are not useful or nonsense vice, but simultaneously these vices are disturbing while chanting. So my question is, up to when these vices will come?
Your question is, you hear other voices. The mind. Oh, that kind.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got to make sure we have the right understanding of the question here. Okay, so you're trying to move in the direction of taking shelter of Krishna, and there's other distracting thoughts in the mind that say something else besides that one thing. So your question is what to do about those other distracting thoughts and desires and contemplations, especially while chanting. That's your question? Well, I can give a real simple answer, especially looking at the clock. Bhakti Siddhanta gives two, either or, neglect or admonish. So if the mind goes here, there, usually neglect it. Or the other is with a stick. You know that saying, at night you beat the mind with your shoe 100 times, in the morning beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick. It doesn't mean literally you take a broomstick and bang your head 100 times. It's the mind. It's a, you know, metaphorical broomstick. 100 times, not once. Be submissive. Or neglect. It works. If you, especially if you understand within the instruction to do so as the strength to be successful. Ultimately, you know, longer term, it requires purification. That is to say, if you continue to chant, striving to chant without distraction, with attention, abhyasa, then those other thoughts and desires will subside. Way back in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, one girl who was addicted to taking LSD said to Prabhupada, you know, something. You know, I see this and I see that, and eyes big and rolling around in her head. And Prabhupada said, you know, she didn't ask a question, she just described like where her mind goes when she takes LSD. And Prabhupada said, that's okay, just keep chanting. So that's, you know, you tolerate, that is neglect, tongues to tiksha swabharata. You tolerate those distractions of duality, go here, go there. And another way of saying it in a positive way, besides broomstick or neglect, is Bhurijan Prabhu's one mantra at a time message. Or another way of saying the same thing is be present with the holy name. Not over there, over there. Not planning your day or worrying about the past. If, why did this happen? Be in the moment. Be present with the holy name. And this mantra that you're now chanting, be present. And however well you did this mantra, you now are chanting the next mantra, and chant the next mantra with the maximum attentiveness you can muster. So those are some how-to, you can say, techniques. But I'll say it again, as I said over here about, you know, systematic education in Prabhupada's books, it's the commitment. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it, writes it. Most important of all the things is the commitment to Krishna. Because after all, it's a relationship with Krishna that you're committing to. So Krishna will help you. There's what you can do, and then there's Krishna's help. It's nice to be dependent on Krishna, because that's reality. Welcome reality. Embrace reality. Be happy with reality. I'm dependent on Krishna's mercy. And the good news is, he's merciful. And the reality is, I'm tiny. And Krishna's merciful. So that's in that mood you practice. And Krishna will show you. Maybe not in the way that you're expecting that Krishna would show you, but Krishna will show you. He's very kind and he'll help you to come to him. He makes that commitment to one who commits to him. Something? Okay, we're at 3 minutes before the bell rings. Any last? Okay, over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
The ladies win for the question side today.
Maharaj, how to attain to you?
Tomorrow the men should win, okay? Okay, go ahead.
How to attain
it's not ladies against men, I'm just being silly. Go ahead.
How to attain while chanting and hearing?
When chanting and hearing?
How to attain to?
How to do what?
Attentive.
How to be attentive?
By chanting and hearing.
By being attentive, that's how. The answer I just gave you is Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada, you've been speaking about the importance of sincerity. How to be sincere? Prabhupada said, by being sincere. Then he said, everybody knows what sincerity is. So, be sincere. That's how you be sincere. You know, the opposite of attentive is inattentive. So don't be inattentive. And be attentive. So, we're attentive. Our attention goes to that which we value. If you value your relationship with Krishna, that's where your attention will go. Now, how do we know about Krishna? Well, we have a relationship with those that have a deeper relationship with Krishna than we do, and we value that. We have some faith in Krishna's real. Even he answers our prayers differently than we're asking him. We know he's answering our prayers, so he's real. And that relationship is most important. So because we value the relationship, our attention goes. If you don't value the relationship, your attention's going to go somewhere else. Largely to fruitive activities and all the other stuff that goes along with that, you know, complexities of material life. Okay, the 7 o'clock bell is ringing. We're going to end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Did you share with them the schedule change? Already? Okay, fine.